Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today is the second video in the Fundamentals of Our Christian Faith series. This one is going to be about the Christian walk. I want to talk about how do we walk out this life that we've chosen to lead, and are there things that we should watch out for along the way? So, how do we walk out this life that we've chosen to lead? Well, I'm glad you asked. What do we usually know about? You know, I'll just use myself for an example because I don't know who else to use. When I got saved, I wasn't raised in church. We hardly ever went to a church. My mother taught Sunday school for a little while when I was about 4 years old. I don't remember much about that. I wasn't in her class. I was in some other lady's class who did not like me. I remember that. When I got saved, what I thought about Christians is that they're not supposed to sin, that they went to church, and they were supposed to be nice to everybody. That was literally what I knew. I'm sorry, y'all, if I trip over my words. Please forgive me. I was up for several hours in the middle of the night making sure that the new ebook that I just wrote called The Fat Curse published correctly on Amazon. So if I'm a little whacked out, that's why. So, we do want to get the sin out of our lives when we become Christians. That's extremely important. It's important for more than one reason. So, let me just explain a little bit on that. One of the reasons is because if you have sin in your life, that's an open door to the enemy of your soul, who is the devil or Satan, to attack you. For you new Christians, I'm trying to think how to best explain this in the simplest terms. There's God, and then there's Satan. God is obviously the good God, and Satan is somebody who wants to be God, who's very, very bad, who hates your guts. He hates all of us. He hates everybody, even the ones who are not Christians. He hates them too, because we were all created by God, so he don't like us. You know, if you've ever had a real enemy, somebody that just really was mean and hateful to you, and you really disliked them, you didn't really like anybody that was associated with them either, right? Well, he's kind of like that. And so anything that Satan can do to harm us, he wants to do. Okay, so we do want to get the sin out of our lives. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. Going to church. That comes from a verse in the Bible that says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." It's in Hebrews 10:25. As far as being nice to everybody, Jesus said that we were supposed to love one another like he loved us. And started to say like we love ourselves. I don't know where that came from. We're supposed to love one another as Jesus loved us. So we need to try to do our best to do that. We generally will have to have his help to do that, because whenever you're trying to walk the love walk, Satan's going to be sure he sends some really nasty, mean people your way to try to trip you up on that. So just so you know that. Okay, where you can learn more about how to walk the Christian walk. The best place to learn is get a Bible and read the book of James, for starters. The book of James in the New Testament, which is the second part of the Bible, tells a lot about the Christian walk. There's a lot of good advice in there about the Christian walk that will help you learn. That's a real good place to start. Obviously, if you have availability of a good church in your area, that's a wonderful place to start. If you have a good pastor who really teaches the word, those are becoming fewer and far between. And a lot of people have come out of the church because, number one, the church is not teaching the true word. Some of them are teaching against what the word of God says. And some of them are just teaching, they're not really teaching anything that has anything to do with what we're supposed to be doing. They're teaching their own political opinions or whatever, that kind of thing. It's all about entertainment or coffee and donuts. So you have to decide, but don't stay in a church where you're starving. If you are starving to death, you're in the wrong church. Can I just tell you that? Okay. Now, I want to talk about some of the pitfalls of the Christian walk, because I want to especially warn you who are new believers about some pitfalls that are so easy to fall into. They are so easy to fall into. Y'all, the devil has thousands of years of experience on us, setting traps for us, and we don't have thousands of years of experience of not getting in the traps. So I want to tell you some that I have seen him use repeatedly on the body of Christ. These are very common traps. It's my hope that by warning you, you won't fall into the traps. You'll recognize him when he sets them for you. Okay. First of all, the number one easiest way for Satan to trap you, and the one that the Lord told me recently he is using in increased amounts now in the end times, is to get you in a wrong relationship. If he can get you tied up in a wrong relationship, he can just sit where he's at and laugh, because you're not going anywhere and you're not going to do anything for the kingdom, okay? All right. Here's one. I've seen this one get some people a bunch of times. God must want me to move there. This is usually what you think when you have a relationship with somebody. There's somebody moved there or somebody lives there, and you want to get maybe somebody you met online and you really want to get something going with them. So you just automatically think, well, God must be telling me to move there. God didn't tell you anything. That your flesh told you that, okay? God seldom ever sends you any place you want to go. Can I just tell you that? And when I got saved, I made a deal with God. I promised him I would do anything he wanted for the rest of my life if he would save my two kids. That's all I wanted. And I said, if you can work it in there, I'd like to write books, because I always wanted to be a writer. And so every time he said move, I started packing. And rarely was it any place I wanted to go. Can I just tell you that? When he moved me from Sayre, Oklahoma to Dallas, Texas by myself, in 1998, I was so terrified. And not only that, I cried all the way to Texas, because my mom and both my kids were in Oklahoma. I didn't want to go to Texas. I wanted to stay there where they were, but he didn't allow me to do that. And the reason is because he was training me for something else. He was training me for what I do now. Okay, so he had a higher purpose. And you know what made me sad about that too, is not only was I away from them, but they were away from me. But I just asked God to bless them for, you know, what they had to give up too. Okay, so you automatically think that because somebody that you've got a crush on lives someplace that God wants you to move there, you need to drop that thought. That is not the case. Okay. One day or one night, you're praying really hard for a godly spouse. The next day, you meet somebody new. That must be them, right? Wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. Well, you think automatically that's an answer to prayer. It's good that you have faith, that much faith that God's going to answer your prayer. But rarely does God send us a spouse quickly, because for one thing, he has to get you ready for what that spouse is praying for, and he has to get them ready for what you're praying for, and that generally takes time, okay? Seldom ever are they going to show up like right away. Okay, so don't fall for that, all right? The reason is Satan knows that you're believing for a godly spouse. So what he's going to do is he's going to take somebody that is not what you want, but he's going to make them look like what you want. I call them decoys. If you've ever seen one of those fake ducks that hunters use to lure real ducks to their death, it's like that. It's a decoy. It's something that looks like the real thing, but when you get up close to it, it's hard and lifeless. And y'all, let me tell you what, he has trapped some folks. Or you're in a relationship with somebody, or you have a crush on somebody, but they're not saved. All of a sudden, they get saved. God must want me to be with them. Really? You think you'll be equally yoked because they just got saved? You've been walking for like 5 or 10 years? That's not the case. I promise you it's not the case. Equally yoked means they're at the same spiritual level you are. You've been walking 5 years. They've been walking 5 or 6 years with God too. It don't mean you've been walking with God 10 years and they got saved 5 minutes ago. They've been saved 5 minutes. You are not equally yoked. Remember that. God says that's a word for somebody. Remember that. There's a woman listening to me right now. You've got kind of a light ash brown hair tone. And the Lord says the devil has set this trap for you and you're about to fall in it. You're already started to fall in it. And he said, back out, woman of God, back out, or your life will be filled with misery. Filled with misery. That man is not who you think he is. Oh, Lord, I can feel the Holy Ghost. He is not who you think he is. Back out. the Lord says there is abuse hidden in his heart. I know that hurts you to hear that. I know it does, but it's better to hurt a little now than hurt a whole lot later for years. All righty. Okay. Here's one. I've seen the devil win some battles with this one. He makes you think you need to go do a Bible study with that person to help them understand the word. Only the problem is the Bible study ends up being at somebody's house and nobody else is there. And what ends up being studied is not the word of God. Do you get my meaning? And the only understanding that takes place is the kind that happens when you're not fully clothed. All right, moving right along. That is a trap. There is a verse in the Bible for you new Christians. I did not have this in my notes, but I need to say it. There's a verse in the Bible that says, avoid even the appearance of evil. And that means don't even do something that looks like it's wrong, okay? For you ladies, if you're going over to a man's apartment or a man's house and there is no one else there, that looks wrong, okay? I don't care if you are just friends. If you are just friends, go meet in a coffee shop where there's other people around. It's better for everyone. Your reputation will be above reproach. And you can still do your Bible study, okay? Oh, yeah. The Lord's showing me right now, there's a beautiful, beautiful black woman that was about to go into this trap. Sister, you are too pretty and too good-hearted. He's showing me your heart. You have a good heart. Don't let Satan do that to you. Don't let him ruin your reputation like that. Don't let him do it. Now I see why God wanted me to talk about this. Okay. Another lie that Satan will set up. Well, if I don't keep witnessing to him or her, they won't get saved. And so this witnessing taking place in a compromising type situation, maybe one of the people's married and the other one's single, but there's an attraction between them. Okay. I'm sure I don't need to elaborate on that. That is a compromising situation. It is the appearance of evil. And I promise you, I don't have the scripture in front of me right now, but there's a scripture that talks about Paul plants and Apollos waters or something like that. And he's talking about God sends somebody along each step of the way. If you are not there to witness to that person, I promise you, our God is big enough to send somebody else after you they will listen to. He knows who they'll listen to. And he'll send someone that won't be a distraction in the area of the flesh while they're listening. Because if you are a distraction to them, if they are attracted to you, they are not listening to a word you are saying. Do you hear me? Get a reality check on this. They are not listening to what you are saying. I know you men could chime in on this, but it wouldn't be something could be viewed by Christians if we had you on here. So telling that that's the truth. If you don't do that, if you don't do your witnessing in a safe area like a coffee shop, a place where there's people around, you know, where it's not a compromising situation, then the only witnessing that's going to be going on is the witnessing going on in a court over child support, okay? Y'all hear me on this. The devil will set you up. He's trying to set people up and snap that trap shut on them right now, all over the place, but especially new Christians. He loves to just tear up new Christians. And if you are not being discipled by somebody, if somebody is not telling you that these traps are out there and how easy it is to fall into them, you will fall into them. It's so easy, especially if you're single and you want to be married or you're attracted to somebody. It is so easy to fall into these, y'all. So easy. Another lie that Satan will tell you. God doesn't mind if I do that or that or that. You know, after all, I'm going to church for him every Sunday. No, you're not going to church for God. You are going to church for you. You are supposed to obey the commandments, okay? That is not for God. It doesn't do him good. It does you good. And it doesn't mean that you get a free pass on the sin on Friday night because you went to church last Sunday. Don't think like that. Come on. Don't think like that. Let me tell y'all something, especially you new Christians. There is a process. Nobody told me about this when I got saved, but there is a process that the Lord wants every Christian to go through called sanctification. It is when you get the sin out of your life. When you get the sin out of your life, sin builds a wall between us and God. The Bible says that. It builds a wall between us and him. It will make it where you can't hear him, you can't feel his presence. But if you will lay down the sin and say, you know what, I want God more than I want this, or more than I want that person. If you will lay down the sin, the Lord will honor that. He will honor that, and you will feel his presence and you will hear him speak if you will walk before him as pure as you possibly can. It does not mean you are perfect. We cannot be perfect. It's in our DNA. We can't be perfect, but what we can be is our best. And we owe him that at the very least. He died for us. Least we can do is get out of sin for him. On the decoy spouses, that is the worst trap, I think, of all of them. The decoy spouse, here comes along somebody that they're, you know, maybe they're going to your church, and or they moved into your neighborhood, or you met them at work and they're really Christian and you're talking about stuff all the time, and they look like they're the perfect Christian person. Let me just tell you something, because I know this for a fact, okay? And I can name a lot of people who also know it for a fact and they learned it the hard way. Some people are extremely good actors. They can act any part they want, and they can make it so believable they could fool their own mama, all right? And you don't find out who they really are until after you say, I do. And then they bring the hammer down on you. And they tell you, you're not going to go to church, or you're not going to do what God's called you to do, or this or that. And they will make your life a living hell every hour of every single day. And then you've got all these other problems, because then it's like, okay, I married the spawn of Satan. Do I stay married because God hates divorce, or do I get a divorce because I know I'm not supposed to be with this person? Then what do? Then you got that mess to deal with. And maybe they destroy your finances while you're married to them. Maybe they ruin your reputation while they're at it. People can do a lot of damage when they're angry or when they don't get what they want. You have to remember that Satan will stop at nothing to bring you down. If you have a strong witness, if you like to tell people about Jesus, if you plan to do kingdom work, if you're going to, you know, do whatever God's called you to do, he will stop at nothing to try to keep you from doing it, because you are going to do damage to him. You're going to win souls from him. And if he can get you in a wrong marriage, he knows he's got you. And let me tell you why. Because 90% of people will not sacrifice their flesh and leave that marriage. They will make 1,001 excuses to stay, and they will not leave the wrong spouse to serve God. They will just stay there, and they'll still be staying there when the judgments start falling. Most people will choose the spouse over God, or they'll just choose to keep peace in the home over doing what they know God wants them to do, because it's easier. Anytime we do that, for you new Christians, anytime you choose a person or a sin over God, if you're going the wrong way and you know that that's not really where God wants you, that is idolatry. And the Bible speaks against that very strongly. And idolatry brings with it its own little set of problems. I promise you, you don't want. I promise you, you don't want that. And I've got some videos out here on idolatry if you want to get yourself educated on that. Okay. Satan will try to get you into pride, because God resists the proud, and he knows it. And pride is very hard to detect in yourself. It usually comes in the form of arrogance, thinking that you're better than everybody else, thinking your denomination is the best, anybody that don't go to your church is not saved, that sort of thing. That's pride. And so Satan will try to get you into pride and arrogance about your beliefs or your denomination or whatever. He will try to get you into weird beliefs and wrong beliefs, okay? Every new idea needs to be tested against the Word of God. If the Word of God says one thing and the new idea says something else, throw it away, because it's from Satan. If it's from God, it will line up with God's Word. It's that simple. And if you don't know, find someone who knows a lot about the Bible and ask them. And I'm not that smart, so ask somebody else. I can answer easy questions, but I'm not no genius, y'all. Satan will try to tell you that you cannot lay down this or that sin. Oh, you can't stop doing that. Oh, one of the ones he uses a lot today is he'll tell people that they can't do without sex. Pure and simple. Young people that get saved that are used to doing whatever they want, whenever they want, with whoever they want, he will convince them that they can't give that up. And they will be the ones sitting in the church congregation that are shacking up before marriage. They're going home and living together in sin and going to church on Sundays. That's not good. Okay? That's not okay. We're not supposed to be allowing that. Telling you that you cannot give up this or that sin is a lie from the pit of hell. Can I just tell you that? Because it is. Because God never tells us to do or not do anything that he does not also empower us to do or not do. Period. Period. That is not negotiable. That is a period. Never put a question mark where God puts a period. Okay? That's a big period at the end of that. All right. There are keys to laying down sins that have a stronghold in your life. Y'all, I was 36 years old when I got saved, and I was a full-time sinner, okay, before. I mean, and I did not care who knew it. I just didn't care. I didn't have a reason to care. I was just doing what I wanted to do. Sin had a big old stronghold in me, okay, in many areas. I won't even go into any of that, but yeah. And I did not know how to lay down sin. And I didn't know for sure if you even could. I mean, because I was traveling 100% of the time with my job when I got saved. I was living in motel rooms, working 7 days a week, traveling all over the place down here in the southern states. And busier than a one-legged man in a sack race. And the kind of work that I did, I worked as hard at that as I work at this. And I usually work 12 plus hours a day doing what I do here, believe it or not. Because I'm always writing books, I'm always answering emails to people, I'm doing everything I can for the body of Christ, for as long as I draw breath on the earth. That's my promise to God. But if you, I know I did at least, I think I did more than one, but I know I did at least one video about laying down strongholds and about how to stop doing a sin that had a stronghold on you. I don't know the name of it. I don't know where it's at. But if you go to my blog, which is justpraisehim.today, www.justpraisehim.today, and if you go to the most recent prophetic word, I post prophetic words all the time. If you go underneath each one, there'll be a comment section. If you'll go to the comment section, there's a whole community out there of really, really loving Christian people and very mature Christians out there. And that's a good place to ask biblical questions, by the way. And ask them which video it is, and probably you will get an answer from Dina, who goes by Rover Radar, because honestly, she knows more about my stuff than I do. If I can't find one of my videos, I just call her and she knows where it's at. It's real. I'm serious. Yeah. So, yeah, if I can't find my own stuff, I call Dina. But the bottom line is, the minute you become a Christian, Satan pins a bullseye target on your back. And he starts sending assignments against you. And that is not something to be afraid of, because his power is so far beneath God's. It's laughable. The Bible says that when we see him at the end of time, when God destroys him, when we see how little he is, we're going to say, really? He was the one that caused all that trouble and all that destruction? The Bible literally says that. I think it's in Revelations. But let me read you some scriptures for you who don't know it. Satan's power is not something to fear. It is something to be aware of. He doesn't have the power to do things to you, but he has the ability to deceive you if you are not on guard and if you do not test everything so that you recognize a deception when it presents itself. Okay? I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, which is the opposite of pride. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That means, for you newer Christians, submit yourself to God. Submit yourself and do what you know you're supposed to be doing, and don't do what you know you're not supposed to be doing. and God will raise you up little by little. But stay humble, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He is called the devourer for a reason. Whom resist steadfast, in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That last scripture is the one I talked about in the video about how to lay down sin. It is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered a while, you will suffer when you are laying down a sin for a little while. But it says, after you have suffered a while, God will make you perfect. In other words, he'll perfect you in that area. He will establish you. He'll strengthen you in that area, and he'll settle you. In other words, the fight, you won't have to fight anymore. You can just be calm, and you'll be past that sin. And then all you have to do is resist any temptations that Satan sends to you. And the longer you resist them, the easier it gets. Pretty soon, it has no hold on you at all. Sooner than you think. So Satan is always going to be after you. He's always going to be after all of us who are Christians. But you know what? Your help is found in two places. The Word of God, because that's where all truth is found. And in your time with God. Time in prayer. Time pouring out your heart to him. When you're having trouble with something or you're having trouble resisting a sin, go to him and just kneel down and pour out your heart to him. And tell him, Lord, I need help. Yeah, I'm having trouble with this. You know, the devil's sending temptations to me, and I want to be good. I want to do the right thing. And God will help you. The Bible says he always makes a way of escape. There's always a way for you to escape that temptation. When the temptation surrounds you, look around. There is a way to escape that temptation, because the Bible is always right. It's always right. It never says anything that is not right. And when you don't know what else to do, worship. Always worship when you don't know what else to do. Worship is like turn on music and worship music that you like that really touches your heart and sing to God and just talk to him. Worship him. Tell him how wonderful he is. Not for something he did, but for who he is. Because worship will bring you a breakthrough when nothing else will. Worship will bring you a breakthrough, and worship will bring his presence in. Okay. I hope that helps y'all. That's all I had for you this time. I'll help you if I can. If you email me, it could be days before I can answer you, but I will do my best to get an answer to you if I have an answer. And if I don't, I'll tell you I don't. So y'all let me know if there's anything in particular you want a video about. If I can do one, I will. Thanks for watching. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us.
What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?